Before we open God's word, let us pray. Merciful and gracious Father in heaven, we turn to thee as our one true shepherd, the one who cares for us and who has brought us into this place to dedicate this hour in worship, in meditation of thy word, in praise to thy holy name. And we pray that thou would gather us as a shepherd with one heart and one mind, looking into thy precious word of life to receive thy gift and blessing. And we pray that thy blessing would be felt by one and all who come into the house of the Lord, who come into this house of prayer. For this is a place where we draw near unto thee, and we are in proximity to one another. Lord, bind us in the love of Jesus Christ, apart from this world and its sorrows, to behold thy joy and thy beauty. We pray for this and for thy blessing upon thy word, much more than the tongue of man can express, and that thou would speak to our hearts. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together and read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16.
Bratja naša želi da se pročita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Mateju, glava 16. Evanđelje po Mateju, glava 16.
Let's read the whole chapter with God's help. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed, and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Jesus asks a question to his disciples that we can ponder. He says, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" How would you answer that question? What could you give of value that could meet the price of your very own soul? He also asked, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" All of the wealth and the power of the world, and yet lose his own soul. How could we even imagine that? Not too long ago, Elon Musk became the richest man on paper. And so we might use him as an example of somebody who came as close as you can get. But his wealth is in a very precarious position. There's a lot of competition for it. Is there anything that he could give? Would he have anything left? What would you trade? What did you trade? The opportunity to lean over to your friend and tell a joke and miss a word that you need to hear. There are a whole host of things. Unworthy trades that are made. Because what is the man's soul but a gift from God? How many souls are here tonight? When God created Adam from the dust of the ground, he breathed his own breath into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And you are a partaker of that gift of life. And let me tell you that the gifts of God are far more precious than anything else. We were reminded on Sunday morning of the grace of God, the gift of God unto salvation. How precious a gift. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord is a gift, and it is a precious one. And when we step back and think of all of our experiences, all of the things that we might say we possess, it was all a gift from God. And so we come together to separate ourselves unto the Word of God, to bring him our thanks for his precious gifts, to be reminded and to have our minds stirred to the things of eternal value, and to draw near to the Lord, to be motivated and led closer to God. And as we think of our soul and the gifts of God that we are told of in the Word, we train ourselves in what we value, and we learn to be thankful. And we learn to look at life as the precious gift that it is. And perhaps we turn to our neighbor and we look to the side, or we look in front of us and we see people, souls for whom Christ has died. And we learn what is precious in God's eyes and how we need to be careful that we care for and that we help one another. And so it is with a prayer that each and every one would receive a blessing from the Lord that we come together to read the Word. And we read in the beginning of this chapter of those who did not have such good intentions, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They came to Jesus, and it says that they tempted him. They desired something from him. They were seeking to draw something out of him. And they used the tactics of Satan. Satan, in the temptation that he offered to Jesus, sought to have Jesus prove that he was the Son of God, to demonstrate his power. And this is in keeping with the attitude and the philosophy of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They valued a man's position and title and authority. And so this would be a way for Jesus to demonstrate that. But Jesus came. We want to learn about Jesus and how he is. The Word teaches us that he made himself of no reputation, but took on himself the form of a servant. And that's who Jesus is. And so their request and their temptation would not be honored. There were other times when the Pharisees and Sadducees requested a sign so that they might believe. Do you really need a sign to believe? Isn't sight somehow completely contradictory to faith? No, we don't need a sign. And yet the signs were abundant. The miracles, the true word. And that is what Jesus came to do. Not to gain an earthly crown or position, but to be the light of the world. And to bring the message of God to lighten the hearts of men. But the Pharisees and Sadducees did not want to hear that message. And they did not want to believe that message. And so they challenged the Lord. They said, force us to believe. Make it impossible that we can do anything but believe. But that's not what the Lord was asking for. That's not what the Lord is asking of us either. A forced obedience and compliance. But that we would willingly give our hearts. That we would recognize that God is almighty. He truly is who he says he is. His word is true. And whether I see the power that I hope to see or not, that doesn't change. That God is real. And he is to be obeyed. We can trust him. And have that childlike faith. And accept his message. The message of light. The message of faith. The message of repentance and salvation. So Jesus responds to them and contrasts their ability to determine the future weather patterns and what type of weather will come, and contrasts that to the fact that they cannot discern the signs of the times. They could not discern the signs of the times because they did not want to hear the message. The signs of the times were demonstrated by what God was making known among the people. We read in John chapter 1 of John the Baptist. And they asked him, and the Pharisees and priests, actually, the priests and Levites from Jerusalem, they asked John, who art thou? He said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elias. I'm not that prophet. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. This is a sign of the time. This is a sign of the kingdom of God. Our ways and our heart and our flesh are crooked and sinful. And John is saying, make straight the way of the Lord. Take away all the hindrances that lie within your heart to faith. John then said the very next day, in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This was the sign of the time that God was revealing his salvation. If God does something, he does not do it in vain for no reason, but because there is a need. But the Pharisees and the Levites, they held that truth that God was revealing. They held it at arm's length and said, "We are Abraham's seed. We have a heritage of faith. We have no need of salvation from God. We would rather trust in vanity than trust in the truth of God's word that he's making known. We do not ignore the signs on the roads when they say stop or the red light turns. We pay attention. And it is these simple signs that God is demonstrating his love and that Jesus has come to die for our sins. He did not do that because for no reason. He did that for a reason of our need. And so we need to hear that sign and agree and believe. We will not need a sign from heaven. What kind of sign from heaven would we want? Sign of heaven that came down on Sodom and Gomorrah? The fire and the brimstone? The sign that we heard from Elijah that brought fire down upon sacrifices and upon soldiers? What sign? Look how tender and gracious God is, that in this day of grace he gives us a sign, and the sign is yield. Yield. Trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. But they would not. And so Jesus says that a sign will be given to them. Sign of the prophet Jonas. We know that Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, 3 nights. And Jesus was in the belly of the earth. After he was crucified, he was buried, but he came out risen and victorious. What kind of sign was that to the Levites? And to the Pharisees. It was a sign that showed them that they were wrong about who Jesus was. And then they needed to fix that. They needed to tell a lie to cover it up. How humbling that must be. If we don't take the simple sign of "Follow me, the Lord is pleading," we may receive a humbling sign that shows us that we've been wrong. And with that, he left them and departed. There would be nothing else given to them. And so Jesus goes with his disciples to cross the sea. They came over to the other side, and the disciples had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus makes a comment to them, speaking of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And immediately the disciples begin thinking about their failure. They had failed to bring bread. They thought about what they had done wrong, and they began reasoning among themselves. How often? Well, I know that I do that far too often. I start looking at myself and how I've failed, how I've come short. And the Lord, in his tender mercy, and in his wisdom has a word to guide me and to take my eyes off myself. How easy it is to get wrapped up in a spiral, a descending spiral that wraps us up into idleness when we focus on ourselves. He tells his disciples, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Why are you tossing these ideas around? Because ye have brought no bread. Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? I can hear the Savior tenderly speaking this to me many times when I forget and when I fail to understand and remember. God has provided everything that you've needed. He has never failed you. How many baskets of leftovers were remaining for you this week of the blessings of God? Paul tells Timothy to warn those who are rich in this world not to become high-minded in preoccupation with the riches of this world, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. To take joy, as we heard last Sunday afternoon, in trials. All things that God gives us richly to enjoy, so that we, when we lose something, can enjoy the presence of God that much more and remember and value Him. David wrote in a psalm, Psalm 103. Something that I need to remember when I think of losing things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. The Lord has dealt abundantly to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. The good things, the good gifts. And he comes to us with arms full. And we come to receive in thankfulness and gratitude. And when we receive of his gifts, it says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, that we might soar, that we might thrive. It is on God's gifts that we must be nourished. And to remember, God has provided everything. And God is good, and God is faithful. And so, with this reminder and correction, the disciples now understand what Jesus was telling them. To beware of not the leaven of bread, but to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. To be cautious to be careful, to keep your eyes open, and to be aware. And what was it that Jesus and his disciples had just experienced? The Pharisees and the Sadducees were looking for proof and a sign. They were looking for a path such that they did not need to believe and trust. They were looking for a path that did not simply hear the call to repentance and follow. They wanted to omit the word of God. And so this is what we need to beware of: omitting the word of God from our lives and from our ears and our hearts. In the previous chapter, Jesus tells the Pharisees and the scribes that had come to him that they, through their tradition, had transgressed the commandment of God. There was a command of God that we are to honor our father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. This was a sin that would not be atoned for through sacrifice and blood of bulls and goats, but in the death of the offender. But the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was one that permitted disobedience to the word of God. It was a home for sin. It was a place to neglect the high calling of God. And they permitted one to say, anything that our parents might be profited by me, it's a gift. It's a gift to the temple. It's a gift to the Lord. And not do what the simple word of God had commanded. This is what Jesus told them to beware of: teachings that make room an excuse for sin. But the teachings of Jesus, they are light to our hearts. They do not need anything to be hidden. They are freedom and beauty. They are not a home for sin. The teachings of Jesus are a home for hope. Because he promises to come and to help us when we have a contrite and broken heart and want to be done with sin. And we cannot do it on our own. He is willing to come when we open the door to come in, to spend time with us, to cleanse us, and to change us. May the word of Jesus richly abound in our hearts, that we might be homes of hope, that hope would be within our hearts, that Jesus would be seen as King and Lord in faith and in love. Because he is alive. He loves and holds each and every one of us precious in his sight. May God bless his word. Amen.
In verse 26, Jesus says, "For what is a man profited?" What would be the advantage? How would we be better off if we would gain the whole world and yet lose our soul? One elder brother said, if we lose our business, we lose nothing. If we lose our health, we lose something. If we lose our soul, we lose everything. The song it just came to my mind, 261, verse 4. It says, 1,000 years of joyous living are a pleasure quickly past, but a day with Jesus living is a treasure that will last. What a privilege to stand there at Jesus' own right hand. Verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So, dear beloved, let us all watch our steps, how we walk. Are we obedient to the Holy Scripture, to God's Word? Let us leave and forsake this world behind so that we can live with Jesus in those heavenly mansions that He has prepared for all of us. There is room for everyone if we are willing to follow Jesus, follow His footsteps, obey His will. He has promised us everlasting life, everlasting joy, and no man can take it away from us. May God bless these few words that we were able to speak, and may God watch over us and protect us so that we can be faithful unto Him as long as we live. Amen.